Good morning. Welcome to Radioactivity. I'm Rob Loride. On November 3rd, 89% of voters in Orange County approved the Right to Clean Water Charter Amendment. The Orange County, Orlando area is now the largest jurisdiction in the nation to pass this kind of legislation. This is the first time voters anywhere in Florida have approved the rights of nature. The amendment is also known as the Wekiva River and Econlacachi River Bill of Rights. Gives citizens the right to sue polluters of the water systems in court without having to show that they've been personally harmed, as state law currently requires. The amendment prohibits any governmental agency, non-natural person, or corporate entity from intentionally or negligently polluting the Wekiva River and the Econlacachi Rivers or any other waters within Orange County. We're going to talk about the rights of nature next here on WMNF. Here to talk about is Chuck O'Neill with Speak Up Wekiva, an environmental group that backed the Rights of Nature Amendment in Orange County. And Chuck, welcome to WMNF. Thank you for coming on the program.
Thanks, Rob. It's a pleasure to be here.
So I should say congratulations on winning this in Orange County in November. Where did the idea come from to put this amendment on the ballot there?
Well, it dates back to 2013 when I attended a two-day seminar given by Thomas Lindsay on the rights of nature. It was something I was completely unfamiliar with up until that time. And it's such a radical way of looking at our laws and the realities of what environmental protections at the state level are doing that I started away in the back of my mind, kind of like a an emergency fire extinguisher in case of emergency, break the glass. And then in 2018, we across the state experienced such a high level of pollution, blue-green algae, massive fish kills, marine mammal die-offs, et cetera, that I said, our environmental protections are not working here. We need something different. So I invited Thomas back to Florida to give a one-day talk at my house, in my living room, as a matter of fact, to 25 activists from around the state of Florida. So Thomas gave us a synopsis of what he had said back in 2013, that basically our environmental laws are set up to regulate the decline of our natural world. They are there to basically protect commerce, and commerce's access to the natural world, to destroy the natural world at a rate that is acceptable to the public at large. And I think it's pretty clear from around the state. And I know over there in Tampa, there's some great things that have been done with Tampa Bay. But, we still are plagued around the state by what is a worldwide problem called eutrophication, the overload of nitrates from wastewater and fertilizers that are discharged into our waterways. And so, we have an international problem, true, but here in Florida, it's particularly of particular interest because so much of our economy, so much of our lifestyle, so much of our happiness revolves around our waterways.
Well, Chuck, you use the word radical to describe this amendment that was passed in Orange County on November 3rd, but it passed by 89% of the vote. Does that mean that 89% of the people that live in Orange County are radicals?
Yeah, I think so. I think so, Bob. And I use the word radical going back to its Latin root, radix, which means root. And what the public did was they took a look at our current state of affairs with our waters and said, there needs to be a change here at the root level, that our current system our environmental protection system, our Department of Environmental Protection, the laws that are being passed out of Tallahassee, are not achieving the results that the public wants. And it was a wholesale rejection of the current environmental protection regime in the state of Florida, and also in Orange County. So I say radical, but only in the true sense of the word.
Yeah.
It's going down to the root level.
Well, let's take a look at what this ordinance does. It's in place in Orange County. Let me take the example of Hillsborough County, for instance. Let's say that I'm walking along the Hillsborough River, and I see some pollution going into the river, maybe from, you know, runoff from an auto parts or auto repair shop, or I notice something, that there's an overflow of sewage or something. Can I, as an individual, just step in and say, I want to sue the auto repair shop or the person that's producing that sewage? Can I, as an individual in Hillsborough County, without this ordinance, sue?
No, you can't, Rob. And that's part of the problem. In our current system of quote-unquote environmental protection, you have to be personally, physically, or financially affected to bring that action against that auto parts store or auto repair shop. What we did here in Orange County is to put into our county charter, and I say charter because Hillsborough, as well as Pinellas, and Polk for that matter, all have charters. Out of the 67 counties in Florida, 20 of them are charter counties, which means we have our own constitution. And every so many years, depending on the county, each of those charters gets reviewed for revisions and amendments by a charter review commission. And then the charter review commission places those potential amendments to the charter on the ballot. So what we did here in Orange was we enabled private individuals to have standing in court to bring an action, not just on behalf of themselves, but on behalf of the rivers, waters of Orange County.
So does that mean that, let's say that somebody wants to build a housing development next to the Wakaiva River, and a runoff from the St. Augustine lawns goes into the river, and a canoeist sees it and says, you know, that's just not right. I don't want St. Augustine, the fertilizer from the lawn to go into the river. Does that mean that canoeist can then sue the housing development because they've allowed this to happen?
Well, if it's set up that way, that the runoff goes directly into the river, then it would potentially violate one of the four rights that we passed for our waters here in Orange County. And let me go through what those four rights are. The first section of the charter amendment says the Wakaiva River, the Econ-Lacatchy River, and that was a nice job of trying to pronounce that.
It was a terrible job.
Not easy. Portions of which are within the boundaries of Orange County, and all other waters within the boundaries of Orange County have the right to exist, flow, to be protected against pollution, and to maintain a healthy ecosystem. So if that development that you talked about violated one of those four rights, then an individual, a citizen, and it says in this charter amendment the person has to be a citizen of Orange County for 1 year, can bring an action against that corporate entity that has designed that development such that the pollution from that development flows directly into the river.
Mm-hmm. We're talking about the Rights of Nature Amendment that just passed in Orange County. Overwhelmingly, it might be one of the most progressive, or as our guest as our guest Chuck O'Neill says, might be one of the most radical environmental moves in the country. And this is WMNF 88.5 FM. So who pays? I mean, if there's going to be a defense of the waterways there in Orange County, who's the attorney and who pays for the attorney to fight for the rights of the water quality?
Well, that's would be up to the individual plaintiff that's filing the action. So we have set this up that any individual, any citizen of Orange County can file an action. He can hire an attorney. He can pursue this in court. Now, of the remedies, as far as the attorney's fees, the attorney's fees, the judge has the capacity to award the attorney's fees to the plaintiff. Or if the judge feels that the action is frivolous, he can award attorney's fees to the defendant. So there are boundaries set for judges to rule in this case. And the judge can then do several different things. Remedies for the violations shall be injunctive or equitable relief, but not limited to a writ of mandamus requiring the violator to the greatest extent reasonably possible to restore the waters at issue to the condition as it existed prior to being polluted by the violator. The prevailing party shall be entitled to recover its reasonable costs, including costs of expert witnesses. So if you were to sue that, let's say that developer who designed the runoff to go directly into the river, he could be required not only to correct the problem, but restore the river back to the way it was before he began polluting it, he or she began polluting it. And also award you your attorney's fees costs and the cost of expert witnesses.
Mm. Chuck, it's been years. It's been 20 years since I canoed down the Wekiva River. But can you tell me what's happened to the Wekiva, which is really a beautiful, it used to be crystal clear. I don't know if it still is. What's happened to the Wekiva River there in Orange County over the last few decades?
Sure. Over the last few decades, it's become choked with algae, the buildup of invasive aquatic weeds, as well as the clarity of the water. It's not like what you saw 20 years ago. As you remember, 20 years ago, the spring vent where the water comes out of the ground. There's a swimming area there that used to have a crystal white-colored bottom, and then the water was a nice blue color, and you look down in the spring vent, it was so blue, it was an indigo color. Now you look in there, it's green. There's a mat of green algae across the floor of the swimming area, and when you look in the spring vent, all you see is a deep, dark green. And all of that is coming from basically two sources, two general sources, wastewater and fertilizer. The wastewater can be from septic tanks or it can be from municipal wastewater treatment plants that are dumping partially treated water into the spring shed that filters down into the upper Floridan aquifer and exits into the river through the springs. The other is fertilizer. As we know, the problem of residential fertilizer, but also large agricultural operations spreading fertilizer, over-fertilizing, and that fertilizer filtering down into the aquifer and again exiting into the water. So we are basically, whether it's unintentional or intentional, we are fertilizing the Wekiva River on a daily basis.
Yeah, and that's been repeated all over Florida in rivers and springs and streams. It happens everywhere in Florida. There's not a spring that's not been affected by this increase in nutrients over the last two decades or three decades.
True, and you know, I think when we live in Florida, we forget how geologically special it is here. We have the largest concentration of freshwater springs anywhere in the world. People come here from all over the world, you know, not to go to Disney necessarily, but to go and see the beauty of Florida and of our springs and our rivers, and to allow them to degrade to the point that they have been over the past few decades, it's really criminal in my mind, and it's certainly a civil matter, and that's what we've made it here in Orange County, is a civil matter.
Well, we're talking about the Rights of Nature Amendment that just passed in Orange County with one of the people behind it, Chuck O'Neill, with Speak Up Wakaiva, and this is WMNF in Tampa. If you've got a question for Chuck, you can email the studio. He's here for just a few more minutes. The address is dj@wmnf.org. The developers and the builders lots of people in private business fought this. The state legislature thought this was a bad idea.
Yeah, they did, but the legislators who sponsored this were doing so at the behest of those special interests that you mentioned. The Florida Farm Bureau prompted Representative Ingoglia, who's from your area over there, just north of you,
from Spring Hill,
from Spring Hill to. Proposed this preemption on any type of locality passing a rights of nature ordinance. But one thing that we did hear that is secondly to the rights of nature aspect is we inserted a homeocentric right, and that's the right to clean water. And that section reads, all citizens of Orange County have a right to clean water by having the waters of Orange County protected against pollution. So even though they took a rifle shot to try and kill this amendment with a preemption on rights of nature, there still exists this this homeocentric right, which is the rights of citizens to have their waters protected. And that does not get preempted by the language that the state passed.
Yeah, because I was going to say the state passed a law that says that you can't grant any legal rights to plants, animals, or a body of water, or any other part of the natural environment. That's what the legislature thinks is a good idea.
Yeah, that's what they think is a good idea. It's such a great idea, Rob, that they gave, the Farm Bureau gave Ingoglia the Legislator of the Year Award strictly for passing this preemption on the rights of nature.
Mm.
So I think, you know, a lot of people feel like, or may feel like, that the state legislature is looking out for us. But they are not really. In this case, they're looking out for the large contributors, whether it be, as you mentioned, the Home Builders Association, Florida Chamber of Commerce, Associated Industries of Florida, Florida Farm Bureau. All these entities I just mentioned weighed in on this bill as it was going through the process and gave it support, if not verbal support, financial support. So, this is what we're up against as citizens to protect our waterways, is we're up against these highly funded, well-organized, multiple lobbyist type organizations. And, it's up to the citizens of Florida to decide, as they did in Orange County, what do you want? Do you want to actually protect our waterways, or do you want to sit back and watch them continue to be, destroyed?
Chuck, if this measure, despite what the legislature did in Tallahassee, you there in Orange County passed this Rights of Nature Amendment, this Right to Clean Water Charter Amendment there in Orange County. 89% of voters voted for it. That's a huge, you never hear of 89% of voters agreeing on anything. If it passed in Orange County, do you think it could pass in other places here in Florida?
Absolutely. And I look forward to working with anyone in Hillsborough County who would like to do something similar. We've drafted an ordinance that basically circumvents the preemption, that centers the measure mostly on the second part, which is the right to clean water portion, but goes back and reaffirms the rights of the waters of, let's say, Hillsborough County. We have a small group of people that we're already working with in Pinellas County to do something over there. So we, you know, would look forward to it. And anyone who would like to check out what we're doing here, we have a website called www.fronn.org. That stands for the Florida Rights of Nature Network.org. And you can get in touch with us through that. And we'd be glad to draft something for you all over there. We like the charter amendment route, especially in Hillsborough County, because it stays in that charter unless it's overturned in another election. So this is with us for 4 years here in Orange County. And with 89% approval, somebody coming back to try to get it out of our charter would have a steep uphill climb.
Has anybody indicated that they want to sue on behalf of one of the water systems there in Orange County? Any indication that somebody's going to use this amendment quickly?
Well, we've already used it in a letter to the city of Orlando in Orange County that run a facility that dumps about 15 million gallons of partially treated wastewater into the Wakaiba Spring Shed every day. And we in this letter, talked about the overwhelming passage of this charter amendment, and that individuals in the county, any individual in the county, it doesn't have to be us now, can bring an action on behalf of the river. And, you know, I think there are ways to use this kind of charter amendment or law short of filing a civil action against a party. And one of the ways to do that is to point out when governments or companies or, as you say, non-natural persons are in violation of the charter.
Well, Chuck O'Neill, if people want to get in touch with you, you mentioned that website. Could you give that website out again and maybe another way to get in touch with you to find out more about the Rights of Nature Amendment that was passed in Orange County?
Sure. It's www.fronn.org. Or they can email me directly at chuck4florida@gmail.com.
Well, Chuck O'Neill from Speak Up Wakaiba, thanks for coming on WMNF.
Thank you, Rob. Enjoyed talking with you today.
It's great to talk to you, and I'm sorry about my pronunciation of the Econlocachi. One of these days I'll get it right.
People over here can't get it right either. So don't feel bad.
Chuck, thanks a lot.
All right. Thank you, Rob.
Bye-bye. You're listening to 88.5 FM WMNF Tampa, St. Petersburg. If you want to comment about anything you've heard here so far, you can call us up at 813-239-9663. You're listening to WMNF in Tampa.
That someday, though maybe not this year, my Hudson River will once again run clear. It starts high in the mountains of the north, crystal clear and icy trickles forth, with just a few floating wrappers of chewing gum, dropped by some hikers to warn of things to come. At Glens Falls, 5,000 honest hands work at the consolidated paper plant. 5 million gallons of waste a day, Why should we do it any other way? Down the valley, 1 million toilet chains. Find my Hudson so convenient place to drain. And each little city says, who me? Do you think that sewage plants come free?
Pete Seeger, his song about the Hudson River. Before the cleanup, Pete was among the people that helped to clean up the Hudson River in New York. You're listening to WMNF in Tampa, 88.5 FM. Well, Democrat Joe Biden is headed toward victory in Georgia in the 2020 U.S. presidential election after that state's second recount, according to Secretary of State Brad Raffensperger. He said that today. He rejected false claims of fraud in the election. The Raffensperger, who's a Republican, says it looks like Vice President Biden will be carrying Georgia and he is our president-elect. He said that there is no substantial change. He's not seen one in the second recount demanded by the campaign of Republican President Donald Trump. Georgia's been the focus of a lot of anger. Yesterday, Gabriel Sterling, who's a top official in the Georgia Secretary of State's office, condemned President Trump and the state's two Republican senators, David Perdue and Kelly Loeffler, in a fiery press conference after a local election worker received death threats. Let's listen to part of that press conference with Gabriel Sterling, who's also a Republican. This is what he said yesterday. As Trump supporters have been calling in threats to people who work in the election system in Georgia.
Good afternoon. My name is Gabriel Sterling. I'm voting system implementation manager for the state of Georgia. And just to give you all a heads up, this is going to be sort of a two-part press conference today. At the beginning of this, I'm going to do my best to keep it together because it has all gone too far. All of it. Joe DeGeneva today asked for Chris Krebs, a patriot who ran CISA, to be shot. A 20-something tech in Gwinnett County today has death threats and a noose put out saying he should be hung for treason because he was transferring a report on batches from an EMS to a county computer so he could read it. It has to stop. Mr. President, you have not condemned these actions or this language. Senators, you have not condemned this language or these actions. This has to stop. We need you to step up, and if you're going to take a position of leadership, show some. My boss, Secretary Raffensperger, his address is out there. They have people doing caravans in front of their house. They've had people come onto their property. Trisha, his wife of 40 years, is getting sexualized threats through her cell phone. It has to stop. This is elections. This is the backbone of democracy. And all of you who have not said a damn word are complicit in this. It's too much. Yes, fight for every legal vote. Go through your due process. We encourage you. Use your First Amendment. That's fine. Death threats. Physical threats. Intimidation. It's too much. It's not right. They've lost the moral high ground to claim that it is. I don't have all the best words to do this because I'm angry. And the straw that broke the camel's back today is, again, this 20-year-old contractor for a voting system company just trying to do his job. Just there. In fact, I talked to Dominion today, and I said he's one of the better ones they got. His family's getting harassed now. There's a noose out there with his name on it. It's not right. I've got police protection outside my house. Fine. You know, I took a higher profile job. I get it. Secretary ran for office. His wife knew that too. This kid took a job. He just took a job. And it's just wrong. I can't begin to explain the level of anger I have right now over this. And every American, every Georgian, Republican and Democrat alike, should have that same level of anger. Mr. President, it looks like you likely lost the state of Georgia. We're investigating. There's always a possibility. I get it. You have the rights to go through the courts. What you don't have the ability to do, and you need to step up and say this, is stop inspiring people to commit potential acts of violence. Someone's going to get hurt. Someone's going to get shot. Someone's going to get killed. And it's not right. It's not right. And y'all, I don't have anything scripted. This is, like I said, I'm going to do my best to keep it together. All of this is wrong. The Geneva, who said for Chris Krebs to get shot, is a former U.S. attorney. He knows better. The people around the president know better. Mr. President, as the secretary said yesterday, people aren't giving you the best advice on what's actually going on the ground. It's time to look forward. If you want to run for re-election in 4 years, fine, do it. But everything we're seeing right now, there's not a path. Be the bigger man here. And step in, tell your supporters, don't be violent, don't intimidate. All that's wrong, it's un-American. I don't know what else to say on that front. I mean, these are elections. One of our goals was to make elections boring again. Well, guess what, that didn't happen. This is all wrong, it's all too much, and I'll leave that for there. So with that, I'll take any questions. About the threat, young man, contractor, basically somebody took a video of him manipulating election data off of the recount. It was wrong. And then people started accusing him of treason. They started hanging things like a noose up saying, you know, this is treason, you're going to pay for this. He's just a contractor. And now he's got a name. I'm not going to say it to spread the name more, but it's a unique name. So apparently they've tracked down family members and harassing them as well. I do know that Gwinnett PD has been contacted. I believe the sheriff's office as well. I don't know if we talked to the GBI yet, but I'm sure at some point in the near future they already have been, and they will be soon informed about the details of this. Justin. I'm talking about Senator David Perdue and Senator Kelly Loeffler, two people whom I still support in the election booth, but they need to step up on this particular thing. And that's me speaking as a Republican, not in this office, because I probably stepped out of line, but I'm kind of pissed. Yes, ma'am. We have said it repeatedly. I mean, it's been pretty clear. They called for us to resign. And frankly, when they called for us to resign, then the president called the Brad Raffensperger, who was a fine, upstanding, lifelong Republican, an enemy of the people. That helped open the floodgates to this kind of crap. It takes people who are already spun up. And, you know, there are people who can have some righteous indignation to be angry. But there's also people out there at this point in the social media world. We see what happens. There are some nutballs out there. We're going to take this and say, the president told me to do this. Essentially, you have to be responsible. You have to be responsible in your rhetoric. You have to be responsible in your statements. You have to be responsible in your deeds. That shouldn't be too much to ask for people who ask for us to give them responsibility.
Well, that was yesterday in Georgia. Republican Gabriel Sterling, who's a top official in the Georgia Secretary of State's office, condemning President Trump and the state's two Republican senators, David Perdue and Kelly Loeffler, in a press conference after a local election worker received death threats. And there were other threats, too, aimed at the staff of the Georgia Secretary of State's office. This is after President Trump tweeted yesterday. He said, in Georgia, it's a rigged election. Show signatures and envelopes. Expose the massive voter fraud in Georgia. What is the Secretary of State afraid of? That's the president tweeting yesterday. So the president is firing up his people. His people are now threatening workers and threatening Republicans in Georgia. So what do you make of that? Our phone number, 813-239-9663. Email address, dj@wmnf.org. What does it say about the president who continues to fire up his people? What does it say about the two U.S. senators from Georgia refusing to speak out about this? Our phone number, 813-239-9663. Email address, dj@wmnf.org. Jessica Green is our phone producer today. There's a lot else going on. President Trump has discussed pardoning three of his children and his personal attorney, Rudy Giuliani, before he leaves office and before any of them have been charged with potential crimes, according to several reports, including in the New York Times. The U.S. Justice Department is investigating a secret scheme to lobby White House officials for presidential pardon, as well as a related plot to offer a hefty political contribution in exchange for clemency. You might have read that story this morning or heard about it last night. Florida's joined Texas and California in surpassing the 1 million confirmed number of COVID-19 cases, as our governor continues to vow not to adopt any further restrictions or impose closures like those that were previously enacted here in Florida earlier this year. Lots of news going on, and I got some other things I'd like to introduce, but let's take some phone calls. Our phone number is 813-239-9663. Wendell writes from downtown St. Pete. He says, great interview about Orange County's watershed environmental ordinance. It's amazing that corporations can have rights, but Mother Nature cannot. Our priorities have got to change, writes Wendell. Let's go to John in Port Richey. John, thanks for calling in. What would you like to comment about?
It's just amazing that, the Secretary of State or somewhere in there?
Yeah, the staffer in the Secretary of State's office, Gabriel Sterling.
Yeah, no Republicans' leadership is speaking out against this, and I find it amazing how the conservative talks about violence on the right side, but yet they just ignore it when it's on the, on the left side, but they just ignore it when it's on the right side. And didn't Barr come out and say there is no real evidence of any voter fraud
He came out yesterday, and his office had reached that conclusion weeks ago, yeah.
Yeah, but I don't think most of their supporters will believe that. The last thing I kind of wonder, it's like, well, if you didn't commit any crimes, then why do you need a pardon? Because you just mentioned that the pardon thing, and I thought about that when I heard that. So if Trump's relatives or Rudy Giuliani didn't commit any crimes, why is he thinking about a pardon? I mean, can you pardon somebody for a crime they haven't committed? I don't know if that's even legal or if that's possible. I mean, wouldn't a pardon be, either you've committed the crime and maybe you haven't been convicted of it, so I'm going to pardon you, or you committed the crime, been convicted, and then I'm going to pardon you. But can I pardon you for a crime that you've never committed?
You know, I've been reading a lot about this and listening to discussions about it, and apparently the president has pretty wide power to even pardon for things that nobody's been charged with yet. And I imagine if the president does pardon all the members of his family and his personal attorney, we're going to spend days on this radio station. I'm sure other media outlets, too, will be discussing the legality of pardons. So
I can pardon you for robbing a federal bank before you've ever robbed a federal bank, so you can go rob a federal bank and not be charged.
It could be. I mean, we'll get some attorneys on to discuss it. We'll get some law professors on to discuss it.
Right,
it's pretty wild, John. Thanks a lot. Thanks. Let's go to Sharon in Sarasota. Hi, Sharon. Thanks for calling in. What would you like to comment about?
I just want to comment about the anger from the right and the threatening of violence. And with Trump actually promoting it, isn't there something in the Sedition Act that says that you cannot do that as treasonous to this country? I really am worried about not a civil war. I don't think I'll ever get to that point, but I think they should be held responsible. And when you're threatening other people and you're encouraging people to do that, you're culpable. What can we do about that? And wait till after he's not in office again, so he can't be pardoned for that.
Yeah, I don't know what the legality is. I mean, I do know that if you threaten somebody and somebody takes action based on your threat, that there could be legal consequences for that. But this is another case where we've got to get some attorneys on who can discuss it. I
want somebody to discuss specifically the Sedition Act.
Yeah, sedition. Well, sedition really, is that's where you call for the overthrow or insurrection against your country.
That sounds like what he's doing, though.
Yeah. Well, I'm not an expert on that. I don't know if it rises to that, but this is a job for a law professor, so I'll get one on.
Thank you.
Thanks, Sharon.
Bye.
All right, good to hear from you. 813-239-9663. Kevin writes this, the Trump supporters should watch the classic film Ship of Fools. They certainly qualify as fools for believing every word their leader utters, writes Kevin. Let's go to Marilyn in Bradenton. Hi, Marilyn. Thanks for calling. What would you like to say? Marilyn, did I lose you? Oh, there you are. Marilyn, you're
Hello?
On. Okay, sorry about that. That was my fault. What's up?
Are you there?
I am.
Okay. Yes, I just wanted to talk to the people that are following Trump. I just don't understand how they can promote a man that has done all the things that he has done and the awful things that he said about women and all other people, like Jews and Indians. And I just want to appeal to these people, maybe to try to change your mind, and not follow this fool that is so hateful and mean to people. I'm really ashamed of the American people. Are there that many people in this country that have such hateful ideas and they keep following this man? Why? Why can they not change their mind? I just don't get it.
Marilyn, you're in Bradenton. Do you know anybody? You're not a Trump supporter. Do you know Trump supporters?
I do know some, but not many. I don't know many.
Do you ever talk politics with them?
No, because you can't talk to them because they cannot see anyone else's point of view, except for the one that they have, and they get very angry and just carry on about it, The other day, I was at our local flea market, and I've got my mask on. There's a man beside me that he does not have a mask on. He's coughing all over the place. I try to get away from him. He sees that I'm leaving the area of where he's at. So what does he do? He follows me and starts berating me, trying to cough all over me and telling me that I'm a fool because there is no such thing as coronavirus, because Trump says that there's no such thing as coronavirus, that it's only colds that people are getting. I do not understand how people can be so ignorant. What, he thinks that 250,000 people in this country gave up their life for fake, something that's fake?
For a cold. They died of a cold, yeah. Marilyn, it is a question of our time. We don't know why so many people have gone off the deep end, but many people have.
They have, and I just don't understand it.
All right, Marilyn, thanks a lot. I'm sorry that guy coughed on you or followed you. That was really rude. Marilyn, thanks a lot.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Thank you. 813-239-9663. Now, we have heard from at least one President Trump supporter, Simon, who says that the election was stolen. So, Simon, thank you for that. Charles in Tampa writes this, to your question, what do the antics in Georgia mean? It means that this is a rabid cult staging a coup, and our very democracy is at stake, writes Charles. Let's go to Patty in Sarasota. Patty, thank you for calling. What would you like to say?
I caught I forgot what you said. He was an assistant secretary of state. I caught his speech, and it was marvelous. It was straightforward, and I sure wish some of the senators would do the same. The only thing I would say is, he left out particular words because I think what we're seeing with Trump is people are afraid to utter these words, but it's fact, I feel. The inspiration for the things going on and Trump not standing up and saying, you know, obviously to his nutball, as the guy said, followers, it's really evil. And I know I'm always talking about scriptures and things, but also the evangelical politicos need to stand up and say, Mr. Trump, remember this scripture, life and death are in the power of the tongue. And right now, his charisma, his cultishness is promoting that. And also the reason people are following him, and I say this, this is just what it is. At a most vulnerable point, spiritually and emotionally, he came along as the great protector. They have sold their souls, and they will do anything. And the ones that are on the edge are going, you know, they want to get rid of the enemies. And this idiot, what was he that, you know, talked about, I forget who the guy was, you know, he should be drawn and quartered, whatever.
Yeah, yeah, Patty, thanks a lot. Patty, thank you for that. Let me play this. This is part of what Gabriel Sterling mentioned that he was upset at, that no Republicans, no significant Republicans have spoken out against. This is one of the president's election attorneys, and his name is Joseph Geneva, DeGeneva. And he said this 2 days ago on a talk radio show about the man who was fired from the Trump administration who oversaw election security, Mr. Krebs. And here's DeGeneva complaining about Krebs, who said that the election was fair. This is what DeGeneva said should happen to Krebs.
Anybody who thinks that this election went well, like that idiot Krebs, who used to be the head of...
Oh, yeah, the guy that was on 60 Minutes last night.
That guy is a Class A moron. He should be drawn and quartered, taken out at dawn and shot.
All right, so there's the president's attorney working for him in trying to overturn the election, calling for violence against somebody who worked in election security and said it was fair. And it was a secure election. 813-239-9663 is our phone number, and let's go to Herb in Clearwater. Herb, thanks for calling. What would you like to say? Okay, Herb, I'll put you on hold for a second. When you call in, listen to your phone and not your radio. And let's go to Kurt in Lakeland. Kurt, thanks for calling. What would you like to say?
Good morning, Rob.
Good morning.
I've heard this mentioned slow-moving coup, and what I was also thinking about really was the previous caller said that, you know, there's just this lack of discourse, and a lot of that is really just revolving around education. And so when people talk about a slow-moving coup, I might argue that the slow-moving coup was the really elimination of decreasing education budgets in public schools, so that it really made for a fertile audience for this kind of propaganda. So, you know, it's the dumbing down of people so that we can selectively feed them the information we want. And so that's where I think the slow-moving coup actually began. That's my thought.
Yeah. No, I think arming people with a good education is really key to a democratic society. I agree, Kurt. Although, you know, some of these people, including the two U.S. senators from Georgia, are highly educated. So why are they so silent? Why are they cowering in the face of the president? Let's go to Glenn in Bradenton. Glenn, you're on. What would you like to say?
Good morning, Rob. Thanks for having me on. I just want to bring some clarity. We just want honest elections. Here's my thoughts on it. And to the gal that was in Bradenton at the flea market, not much Trump supporters. She hasn't been to the DeSoto Mall when there were thousands of cars every other week during the drive. So we have plenty of Trump supporters here. No doubt about it. We carry this town, we carry the state. I just want to make an observation on the voting. So here's my spin on it. Florida has 67 counties. The Commonwealth of Pennsylvania has 67 counties. Florida has 20 million citizens. The Commonwealth of Pennsylvania has half that. by midnight on election night, we called, we carried our state. The Commonwealth of Edessa of Pennsylvania is still counting, to my knowledge. That's the first thing I want to bring up. The second thing I want to bring up, I don't know if many of your listeners out there have ever been served with a court order, but I will tell you this. By the time the drink, the deep drive on that court order, it's enforceable. So when our, when Pam Bondi went to Philadelphia and had a signed court order, they said, oh, we'll take this under review and get back to you. I don't know whoever has been served with one, but that's never an option.
Yeah. All right. Glenn, thanks a lot. Let me answer your first thing, and that is that here in Florida, the election supervisors have been given the right to begin counting mail-in votes about 10 days out from the election, prior to the election. And they hold those results. They don't reveal them until after 7 o'clock on election night. And in Pennsylvania, the local election supervisors have not been given the power to count those votes ahead of time. So that's the reason why Pennsylvania differed from Florida. As to Pam Bondi, I'm not sure I understand your point, and I apologize because the static is so bad still on line five. I've turned it into our engineers, and they're working on it. Let's go to Chad in Seminole. Chad, you're on MNF. What's up?
Hey, Rob. I just wanted to point out, I wish somebody would report on, of all the people that have died of COVID, how many are Republicans? You know, I just can't believe a reporter hasn't come up with that number yet.
Yeah, I often want to go through the obituaries in the newspaper and then go down to the elections office and check party registration. It would take a while to compile those numbers, but I think that's an interesting that's an important and interesting news story. And Chad, thanks a lot.
And one other thing. And I went to McDonald's drive. I wanted to go to McDonald's to the drive-thru and get a burger, but I said, well, let's go inside and look. Take a peek in the kitchen. No masks in the kitchen. So
which McDonald's?
McDonald's in Seminole by Park Boulevard.
Okay. All right. Thanks for the heads up about that. A word to the wise, Chad.
Whenever you go out to eat, go in the kitchen.
Okay. All right. Thanks a lot. 813-239-9663. I went out to eat the other night. In order to get to my table, I had to go through the kitchen. And luckily, everybody in that kitchen, it was a small restaurant. There were four people in it, but everybody had a mask on. Mike in St. Pete writes, track down those people who are making the death threats and put them in jail, writes Mike in St. Pete. And then Suzanne writes, my take on the debacle in Georgia is Trump is psychotic and a traitor to the country. I'll bet you anything he's going to blame this all on Antifa, writes Suzanne. And let's try to Herb in Clearwater one more time. Herb, if you're listening to your phone, we'll put you right on. What's up?
I just got a question. If Trump nukes Iran, can he legally stay, stay to be president?
Can he legally stay to be president?
Can he declare himself a president for some emergency or something like that?
No. Whatever happens, his term ends January 20th.
That's okay. All right.
No such thing as an emergency extension. Let's go to Katira in Palm Harbor. Katira, did I pronounce your name right?
Yes. Uh-huh.
Thank you. What would you like to say?
I just wanted to say that I know somebody that, as a Trump supporter, they came over to help me with something, and I wasn't saying anything, and all of a sudden they said, oh, you know, the election was rigged, and, you know, the Paris Accord's going to cost billions of dollars, and all our jobs are going to China. And I said, well, I guess you're reading that conspiracy stuff. And then he said, this is what surprised me, is that Biden and Harris and Pelosi should all be assassinated. That kind of upset me. You know, it's like, so that's what these people think. I don't know.
And can a democracy hold if that's what the opposition believes?
I know. I don't think so. I don't know. I just have never seen nothing like it.
Yeah. All right. Katira, thanks a lot. Thank you. Jeff writes this. There are certain elements of media and their followers that appear to be permanently fixated on the idea that this election was a fraud and they will not give up. Even if Trump eventually gave in, I think they might still keep going, writes Jeff. Well, if you want to comment about today's show, please call us at 813-238-8001 and record your comment on extension 115. I'll play your comments about this program tomorrow at 11 o'clock. Stay tuned because NOLA's coming up on the Midpoint program, and Jessica Green has been our phone producer today. I'm Rob Lurie. Thanks for listening to Radioactivity. This is WMNF, Tampa, St. Petersburg, Sarasota, Lakeland, and points beyond. And here is the latest news from National Public Radio.